Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Smashy Business Show. I am Abdul Majid Anand and I have with me Richard Fitzgerald.
Good morning.
He's the CEO of Augustus Media. He's our boss. And today is 11th of October, 2024. Again, we're in the last quarter of 2024. A lot of things are happening. And this is the season of events, Rich. Jatisk is starting the one of the biggest tech conference in the UAE and I guess in the world as well.
Yeah, the massive numbers, Majid, isn't it? Jitex, and it's now expanded. In the last couple of years, it's just got bigger and bigger. Yeah. And they've got North Star, they've got lots of different, they've got AI, they've got lots of different events. You know, in the past, it was in Dubai World Trade Center. Yeah. Now they've sort of activated the Dubai Harbor development and they've created a lot of things there. You know, I think living in the city, obviously people in the traffic see Jitex, but I don't think we really realize how big it is internationally. Yeah. I'm getting a lot of LinkedIn messages of people from Asia, people from Europe, people from the US who are coming to Jitex. My MD is coming, do you have time to meet? Oh. And it's a fair, isn't it? Like there's obviously deals are made, talks happen, but you know, fairs are fairs and they're thoroughfares. And you go around and you see stands and it's networking and it's hustle and bustle. Yeah. But it is absolutely massive, Jitex. And it's, you know, it's a, that intersection, I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of technology, commerce, you know, marketing. It's a big mix. We have different events in the region and different cities in the region have events and especially business conferences. Yeah. And there's a lot, but this is kind of consumer meets business. It's big, isn't it?
And it's like one of those events which actually creates a ripple in the whole industry, like Jitex. Then there is a food one, Gulf Food. That is very big. So all these events, they are actually now known as a brand itself. It's not just that Dubai is hosting them. It's like Dubai is hosting this event.
Yeah,
it's a big thing.
The whole events industry is like, it touches everything because you can have it sector by sector.
Yeah.
You know, hotels have MICE meetings and events, but these sort of consumer big affairs, big events, like I've attended a lot globally over the years. I've been to CES in Vegas. I've been to, you know, South by Southwest a few times in Texas. Web Summit through its various iterations and lots of big things. And what I've come to understand is if you do business in the region, really you don't need to go anywhere else. Like before you used to go to get inspired outside the region. Yeah. Now you can get inspired by these events like Leap in Saudi, we'll talk about in Feb, 180,000 people and so on. And Jitex is one of those. You can go with an agenda, you can go to a plan, there's a lot of startups, there's a lot of people to meet and things like that. But we will be there, we'll have our team down the ground doing interviews and smashing business. And we'll do that. You guys will do the show all next week and we'll cover, we've already got some press releases coming through about Jitex announcements, so
So you're going to FII also, right?
FII.
It's again a rising event which everyone is now talking about.
Future investment initiative.
It's in October, it's this month, FII.
Not to be called the Davos in the desert. I'm going on the 28th of October. There's different things. I think Jitex as a consumer one. There's one in Riyadh. There's just so many. Like we could constantly do about the events and things like that. And we've partnered with Civi, is it? Who have an events calendar?
VVI, Silicon Valley Ventures and Investments. Yeah, we've partnered with
Silicon Valley.
They have a whole calendar of where you can go, which type of if you want to see venture capitalists or whoever you want to find, you can just look at their calendar and just go.
So they've identified that events is a big space and they've created an events calendar. So check out Civi. They're quite cool what they're doing. It's Vivi, SVVI. Check them out.
Okay. Let's move on to the main stories. Wynn Marjan Island, they've published an investor report. It's a very detailed investor report. I have it opened right in front of me. And till the 30th page, it's all about their whole properties in Las Vegas and Macau, wherever they are. But after the page 30, 31 onwards, they continue with the Al Marjan Island development that they're making, the resort plus casino, the very first casino in the MENA region and in the UAE. And they're calling it a commercial gaming establishment. There's no mention of the other word.
Gambling or casino. Yeah, is that gambling. What I mean? Yeah.
And I was reading yesterday that they took the word gaming from the U.S. itself. So U.S. has a law or a whole regulation around
gaming
it and they
license.
Call it gaming.
Yeah.
So UAE picked it up and now they're calling it commercial gaming. And it's the definition is very clear that you're wagering some money to win some money. So it's very clear that it is, but I guess they're calling it gaming for now.
Yeah. Yeah, and interestingly enough, like, you know, Wynn is obviously famous from Vegas, yeah. But of the 52 or so states in the US, you know, up until recently, Vegas was one of a few that gaming or gambling or casinos were legally licensed. And it's only in the last few years that they've opened up to other cities. And what didn't happen was more Vegas-like cities built in those states.
That's the
what
problem.
Happened was the tech platforms really did really well, like DraftKings and others. Yeah. And the gaming or gambling or betting around sports took off. So, you know, people, you know, obviously we're covering this story from a Wynn and from a Rack Vegas, as one of the other titles in the region called it. You know, we're thinking of it like that. And, you know, I had a call with an American entrepreneur this week and he said, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be big. You know, it's going to be like Macau. And, you know, I sort of... not dampened his enthusiasm, but kind of said, well, actually, you know, gambling is haram and, you know, this is still an Islamic country and, you know, there aren't any history of casinos in the Gulf. And they quickly jumped in, they corrected, no, casinos are the history of Beirut and Egypt is casinos. Yeah. Fine, I said the Gulf, you know, and like everyone bundles things in together and they're like, oh, Arabs, and it's generalization, Arabs are like gambling and things like that. Look, like when alcohol came, it doesn't mean that the debauchery comes, like, you know, the behavior, the society, the alcoholism that exists in some certain countries isn't here to a degree. And you know, so I don't know about this sort of windfall. Like, obviously it's investment, you know, when you look at numbers like you reported, 3.8 billion, and I run around as Marjan Island, I've seen the hordes for the knock
day
on.
And night, the lights never go off on that property. Again, this last weekend I was there, and in the night I could see that they're working 24 hours, maybe 25 hours.
And when you go around there, you'll notice that, like, it's not just a rack Ras Al Khaimah Emirate investment, because Dubai investment groups have properties and plots there as well. Like, you know, Emara have the address and, you know, we do know that there are other hotels that maybe not Armani Hotel soon to announce and things like that. So they're definitely like the knock-on effect. And if you're in the real estate space, you'd be going, okay, if I buy a one-bed villa there or one-bed apartment or a villa there, will the price go up? A knock-on effect. And like the tourists will come. But I think it's just, I think the wider thing here is like, you know, does this become like Vegas? I don't think so. I think Vegas is quite unique. But what's the wider implication about gaming licenses? Yeah. And will we see more gaming? You know, we have 80,000-90,000 people attended Dubai World Cup each year with no betting. And so what's the kind of knock-on effect of this stuff? Like all the sports, like Smashy Sports does a lot of streaming of sports. There's no gambling on that within this region and things like that. And when the licenses opened up, I mentioned DraftKings, when they opened up in the US a lot, you saw a lot of the sports streaming companies, like ESPN opened a book and Fubo.tv got into that space. And the share price just went up because it's like, okay, we don't really believe in this content streaming unit economic stuff. But as soon as you throw gambling in the mix, the shareholders and Wall Street likes it. So yeah, from a business perspective, it's an interesting story to follow. The win and the tourism and the excitement will grab the headlines, but it is an interesting story to follow.
But again, you said that alcohol came and there's no like alcoholism here. Likewise, it is because I guess it's very strongly regulated. You don't even give an inch or even a millimeter to the people to go beyond the regulations. And they've created a whole GCGRA. It's a gaming authority which will regulate everything. So regulations are in place and they're very strict. So that is why I guess it won't turn into like a gambling hub where everyone is like just throwing money and getting poor. It will be very nicely regulated and people will win actually as well.
There's some people that disagree. Some people who say that, you know, it's going to attract a lot of Chinese, a lot of different countries, a lot of Asians, a lot of Americans, a lot of people. And, you know, for tourism, it will. But I do agree with you, Abdul Majid, that, you know, this gaming commercial, general gaming commercial
It's a long
General Commercial Gaming Regulatory Authority,
GCGRA.
Yeah, like the VARA one, and the regulations. I do think that they will sort of contain it to some degree, yeah. But.
But we've seen you remember, I guess, there's a lot of lottery platforms were active here. They controlled all of them. They finished all of them, and they just gave out one license to one company.
That's such a good point. And that's what I mentioned that on the call with the American entrepreneur yesterday, the day before, that, you know, about 18 months ago, and there was people in the studios, looking to do their draws and stuff, and then next week their licenses were revoked. And we interviewed some of them on the previous iteration of this show, Mazouz and a few others, and different types of national lottery, and they were using the UAE as a base to sell weekly tickets to subcontinent Asia and things like that, and they were exploding. And then the regulatory came in and said
because I guess there was something happening. So there, it's again about regulation in Dubai and the UAE. They'll always put their step down when they see something is not going in the right direction. In the report, the main thing that attracted me was that part that they said expanding in UAE or like investing in UAE is like one of the most amazing things that they've done in the past decade. So for Wynn, it's also like a very good investment, and they think it is going to give them a lot of revenue back. Investing nearly 3 million, but they're going to get their returns there.
3.8 billion, but I like that, and well done for finding it in the end of I don't know if Wynn are listed, are they? Are they a public company?
No.
They just produce a report about their investments and their outlook, which is good governance and good communication. And then you as you described nicely, that you dig down into it and you see a few slides or a few sections on this investment. And I like that. I like that, we talked about PIF and their reports the other day, but I like also that, the money is moving inward. It is moving from elsewhere into here. And, it's good for the local economy.
They have a whole leadership team I wanted to talk to you about. Maybe you will know a lot of guys. So there's Max Stapenier. He's the president. He comes from a lot of experienced places. So the Venetian, the Palazzo he comes from, he's handled Mandarin Oriental. Tim Rollins, we did the story. He was the head of Atlantis Royal and Atlantis the Palm both. They raked him in for non-gaming operations. So it's a very nice looking, very experienced team with a lot of experience. See, Modon is there, Aldar, Atlantis, Gerard Moss. Yeah. He's worked with them.
Yeah,
so this report, if you're interested in what is going to happen, just go see this report. You can find
it. We should link it in the newsletters in the future to link out from the newsletter. But as your newsletter says, 4,000 new jobs to be created. Yeah. That's 10% of the population of
Asakama. Yeah. So again, it's going to be very big. It opens in 2027. The plan is 2027. But to be honest, the work I've seen, maybe they'll give us a surprise and be like, oh, we're opening in the mid of 2026 or maybe by the end of 2026. So fingers crossed for that. The next thing that we're going to talk about is Dubai's property. Again, we're coming from a big resort property to main commercial off-plan and on-plan property. Dubai's Q3 numbers, according to Property Market, they're huge. Again, every time we report property numbers from Dubai, they're record-breaking. That's the word that we always use because it is record-breaking. So in the Q3, Dubai's real estate market saw 50,439 transactions valued at 142 billion dirhams. And that's the highest quarterly volume ever recorded. This is like the bubble is getting bigger and bigger and it's still not bursting.
Careful calling it a bubble. Yeah. No, you're right. And it's interesting. We put that story on Smashy Business yesterday morning.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at the numbers here, like 84,000 people viewed it. And the 38% year-on-year increase. And Q3 is July and August, right?
It's a very slow period for business, at least, because nothing is happening. Yeah. Usually things happen Q4, Q1, and some part of Q2.
Yeah.
But Q3, they got so much money out of it. So off-plan was the best seller in this 142 billion dirhams. Off-plan led, it represented 63% of this total money. And the money that they raked in was 67.45 billion. So people are thinking that investing in Dubai is safe because they're mostly putting their money in off plan.
Yeah.
They don't want already built apartments. They don't want apartments which recently opened or old buildings. They want something which is built after 2 years so they can get money out of it.
Yeah, like, the, you know, we had iftar with Hussein Sajani from Damak Group this year, and he told us that it's a bit of a slowdown. And I think maybe he's surprised by these numbers because it's not a slowdown versus Q3 last year. 50,000 transactions in those three-month period, that's unbelievable. The city is built for construction. Yeah. It's built with regulation. It's built for flippers. Like, you know, I've a couple of property investments, not to flex, but just to be transparent, and I'm just surprised with how many calls I get because I haven't advertised it. I'm not putting anything for sale. And, you know, there are aggressive, you know, proactiveness out there. So, you know, when someone puts a number on you, like, it's just a very flipping turnover, high transaction. It's just geared towards transactions, all this sort of stuff. So, you know, long may that continue. I hope it doesn't crash for the sake of the city and the stability. But it does seem well regulated. Like, we've had a lot of interviews over the years with different developers and different things. And Love in Dubai works a lot with property developers. We work close with Dubai Land Department as well. And it's all systems go on that area.
Yeah, I remember I used to work with a property event. So I remember that DLD recently came up with a new regulation that all the agents need to be registered. First of all, that's like the rule. But again, one property can only be listed on four websites or four services now. So that's also in play now, because every property was listed at 100 places. And again, as you said, that you were getting 100 calls. Everyone was getting so many calls. So now they've come with that regulation. So it's, again, a very tight-knit DLD whole thing that they don't want to let it get out of hand. They want to control it as much as possible. And referring to one of the infographics that I saw, I talked to it, talked about it with Hinda as well, that Dubai, on the scale of the bubble bursting, again, it's a very dangerous term to use, but on that scale, Dubai is on 24th number. It's not even in the top 10 or 15. So Dubai is doing good. So your investments are safe. And these numbers show that investing in Dubai is safe for now, and at least for next 2 or 3 years, because there are a lot of plans and a lot of buildings, they will be constructed over the next 2 or 3 years. Moving on, last story, NEOM, another construction-related story. NEOM has finally found a concrete plan to cement the progress online. This was the headline that we used. So NEOM is, Mayon is partnering with the
Anas Al Mohaib to build a 700 million Saudi real mixed concrete. You know, so NEOM is three developments.
Yeah.
It's the line, it's, you know, the hexagon, and it's Trojina, if I'm pronouncing them right. So if you think about it, the line is the residential one. And then on the sea, there's an industrial type, eco-friendly area where all the, for the whole city of NEOM, and NEOM's, you know, size of Belgium or whatever. Yeah. So the whole industrial part of the NEOM city, NEOM state, will be in the sea. And then the whole tourism part will be in the mountains. So Troxena is in the mountains. So you kind of, you know, I went to the NEOM Line exhibition, and you know, you basically have three different groupings there. And you know, there's lots of rumors about the length of the line cutting short and things and different investment. I think I love anything to do with like manufacturing and things being built on site. Because a lot of projects in the region have history of things being shipped in. You know, I was running around the, what would you call it, like the Pearl or, you know, West Bay in Doha recently. And my, funny story, but one of my earbuds fell down the concrete. You know, like they basically built a kind of a corniche around West Bay. And it was a contract with a cement company from the UK. So all this heavy boulders, imagine, like really, really heavy boulders were brought in. And they were brought in like on aeroplanes and freight and boats and stuff like that. And it's just fascinating that, like, just to think of that cement having to be brought in, whereas we're in the Gulf, and why can't we create it ourselves? Yeah. And I love seeing this stuff, because this is real future. Yeah. This is real, like, this is cementing the cementing the project. And, you know, 20,000 cubic meters of ready mix green concrete. Not an exciting story, but it gives you a little bit of faith that they're not giving up on this project. Yeah. They are investing in it. It will create more jobs.
We heard that the line is going to come down from 100 kilometers, the plan, to 1 kilometer, and they'll just start with 1 kilometer and then see where it goes. But obviously, they're not letting it down. A lot of people said that it will be 1 kilometer. There were reports from varied sources. Reuters reported on it, Bloomberg, a lot of people reported. But again, this shows that they're not slowing down. Even if they build the first kilometer, they will eventually build the remaining one.
The plan was, if I remember correctly,
the plan was to build the whole line by 2030. But they've postponed the plan.
Yeah, I think they, you know, we talked about it yesterday on the show. Like the focus is on Riyadh and the projects around there. But the phases of NEOM, this is a sign that NEOM isn't going away. And there'll always be headlines and negative press in a way around this thing. But NEOM's also in the headlines this week about its investment in media as a media production hub, along with Alula. On that sort of side of the kingdom, you know, on the west side, you do then have the Red Sea development. You have obviously Jeddah. There's Yanbu. There's other things around there as well. So I don't think the NEOM project's going anywhere.
Yeah,
it just mightn't be as fast as the rest.
I remember the early times of me joining Smashy Business. We did a story about Oxagon. It's a project. It's an in-house project for investors who've invested in the NEOM project. It has like a library of millions of photos and videos and some live feeds of every construction. So that story, when Rich said that it's happening, it's actually happening. It reminded me of that. So it's Oxagon is a whole platform for investors. It's not open to public, but some of the pictures from it were revealed. So they have live feed of every construction happening.
Yeah.
So investors can actually see what's happening. So that's the good part. Saudi Arabia, again, with their Saudi Vision 2030, they've been very proactive, not even reactive. They've been very proactive. Any problem that arises, any PR nightmare or any marketing problem, they always cater to it quickly. So that's what NEOM is doing. They have their own cement solution, a concrete solution for the line project. It's a very nice thing to see when you actually go and watch videos of it. It's a self-sustained society. And it's like a 10-minute whole city where you can go everywhere, it'll grow everything. You'll eat organic stuff. You'll breathe fresh air. Everything
is
perfect.
It's a vertical city, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a perfect, like, heavenly city that you will see. Maybe we will see in the future soon enough.
They even have a NEOM football team already. Did you know that?
Nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a lot of things that are happening. Bill Gates, just to like wrap it up, Ratan Tata, Indian business tycoon, died. Bill Gates and Sundar Pichai, they all gave tributes. The whole Indian cricket team, football team, everyone from India was paying tributes to him. There's a Dubai-based dropshipping platform, 4Partners. They recently acquired $3.6 million in funding. They're expanding within UAE.
Interesting, isn't it, the dropshipping space?
Egyptian entrepreneur, former Dubai resident, Maha Abulin, new book was launched. They talked about Love in Dubai in the machine.
Yeah, they did. Maha is a good friend of Love in Dubai, a good friend of the business.
I saw the part where you took the video and I read it actually by pausing it.
Yeah,
it's a nice, good story.
Yeah, so she basically, she's very well respected, worked with a lot of professionals and companies in Dubai over the years. Previously used to work with Naguib Swerz in Egypt. She was part of the Google regional comms team. And in the last sort of phase in her career, she's been working with Gary Vaynerchuk. She's based a lot in the US, I think her family in Minnesota. And she wrote this book about 7 rules for self-reliance. And it's quite impressive. Yeah. The launch was in Times Square, Good Morning America. Yeah. She had a Reliance conference with, you know, Halle Berry and a few others speaking at it. So it's been quite impressive, like pretty proud of what she's achieved with the book. She will be doing a book roadshow in Dubai.
We'll host her here.
Absolutely. And, well done, Maha. Yeah, we do get a shout out on our story, Love in Dubai and what we've done in media in the book about resilience and things like that. But, it's a good book. It's available. It's already a bestseller on Amazon.
Yeah.
So just look up her name or click the link in the Smashy Business newsletter. Yeah. We cover it on socials as well. Well done, Maha. And we look forward to hosting you when you come back to Dubai.
So that was the show today. Thank you very much, Rich, for joining me today. Again, he was there here yesterday as well. If you want to see the conversation between me and Rich from yesterday, you can always go to our YouTube channel. The show is there. If you missed anything from the start of the show, you can go to the YouTube channel, see the show. You can go on all our socials and find us as Smashy Business. The producer is pitching an idea that you should be here every Friday with us on Smashy Business Show.
Welcome to join. Yeah, it's a busy Friday. We had London Dubai show in the morning, and Hisham and Cairo are doing the Smashy Sports Show. Shout out to that podcast. If you want to listen to sports, focused on the UAE, but a lot of regional, you know, you will get the insights to the Russian Saudi Pro League. Last night, the UAE had a tightly fought draw in the Asian World Cup qualifiers, 1-1 against
Korea.
We did see a few other things. Bahrain drew 2-2 with Indonesia.
And Saudi lost, right? 2-0?
Poor Saudi. Mancini mightn't be there long, will he? And we saw a comeback. Oman, the Omanis weren't happy with their previous round, but they won 4-1 or 4-0 against Kuwait last night. But yeah, so Smashy Sports, we're going big on Smashy Sports. We're doing loads of streaming. You've got the volleyball, I think, Hashim. We've got volleyball tonight. We've had basketball this
handball
week.
Handball as well today.
Handball as well. Handball and volleyball today. And we've also got, we're doing the Dofa League, and we've got the Precision Football in the UAE second division. They're playing on Saturday.
Dofa is on Sunday, and we have 5 games live streaming today, right, Hisham? So yeah, so my producer is telling me a lot of information, but you can check out all of it on Smashy Sports, the YouTube channel, Smashy TV app. You can see all the live streaming of all the matches. Thank you very much for joining us today, and see you tomorrow. This was a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. See you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Take care.